I'm going to commence with our presentation for the service center. Last year, we did meet with the center in mass meeting, and the indication from the administrator at the time was that they have concluded on the appointment of the board, and that work was underway to deal with the problems that have afflicted the sitter for some time. But forensic investigations were being undertaken into a myriad of allegations pertaining to administration. And it would seem that currently the sitter still continues to attract media attention in regard to continued allegations. And I believe that once that is for the primary purpose of our meeting, perhaps the chairman of the board may address these allegations just to assure us that efforts are being taken to source of stability in the center. We have got an hour to deal with this presentation, after which we will dive into the second presentation by the local government teachers. May I take this opportunity to allow the chairperson of the board to initiate their presentation. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, may we begin by thanking the portfolio committee for inviting us to share with the committee the our annual report for the financial year 2012-2013. Honorable Chair, we are here with some of our board members, but because of time, if I may, please not necessarily introduce them by name, as well as our executive management, notably the CEO, who, with the chair's indulgence, I would like to have deal with specifics of some of the issues I will be raising today. Thank you very much. Honorable Chair and honorable members, indeed, the CETA was under administration for the past 2.5 years. For 2.5 years, up to July of 2013, when the board was established. If I may remind the committee that the reason, primary reason for the CETA being placed under administration is that prior to that, the CETA had what we would characterize as very costly achievements, where it would record achievements, but when you checked how those achievements were actually made, we found that the costs were rather astronomical, which raised questions about where some of those monies were going to. For example, you had cases where one learner would undergo just a year's training at a cost that's more than 3 years of university training. But all of those are matters that are behind us and that were investigated in this, and we shall be saying a few things about those in the future. administration, Honorable Chair, one must indicate that for the first day of administration, the seat has received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General, but past financial year, that is 12-13, we received a qualified audit opinion. And indeed, we shall be dealing with the specifics of the matter, but for now, I would like to first indicate, please, that in years in administration, and I'm talking of someone who was administrator in two sitters previously, namely the chief sitter and the construction sitter, that you do tend to get caught in some processes that almost make it impossible for you to achieve in other areas. And if you are not very careful, they really might lead to some challenges. The first one being what I call the paralysis of investigation. Administration is by nature an investigative process, and therefore you do tend to focus on investigations to a point where you might miss out on the day-to-day processes that you need. But we also had a weakness in our sector, the services sector, with what I call external focus. We had lots and lots of activities of an international nature that will be seen also in the budget, you know, pertaining to service and so on. And I think in focusing too much on international things, we forgot some of the domestic responsibilities. I think there's also a challenge in relation to our matching of skills within the organization. We have a highly skilled workforce, but we are finding that some of them could be utilized better in areas where we have not been utilizing them. And then, of course, a very serious matter relating to the question of commitment, where we may have put our eyes off the ball in relation to commitment, and therefore records in some instances not being kept too well, and that is a serious finding, I think, on the ages. And indeed, for me, one of the biggest mistakes we made was to combine the accounting authority function with the executive management function, because the administrator was also the acting CEO, and therefore you had a situation where the acting CEO reported basically to himself, and therefore I think that is the governance weakness that we also experienced. And indeed, pages 58 to 63 of our annual report, which constitutes a report of the Auditor General, capture, I think, the essence of some of the challenges we therefore face as a direct result of this. I am going to very quickly, with your permission, Honorable Chair, go through this, but with specific regards to some of the interventions we are taking to deal with this. I'm going to do so from a governance point of view, and the CEO will then give us the operational side of things. Thank you very much, Chair. If I may now go to our budget. It is the AG, Honorable Chair, talks to the question of commitment, our commitment schedule, and the fact that 292 million rand could really not be accounted for in terms of the actual documents we needed, and therefore there was insufficient evidence. We have decided, Honorable Chair, to ring-fence all the projects pertaining to the period before July 2013 and conduct a validation exercise, and we are sure that is going to clean up this commitment schedule in addition to other processes, for example, systems that are put in place by the executive management, and the CEO will talk to that. And then there are questions of some uncertainties, particularly with regards to lawsuits. because of these investigations we are talking about, you will find, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that we have a number of legal matters that have not been concluded and that pose uncertainty for the organization. We've decided to engage an independent legal practitioner to make sure that we look at the merits of all these matters and determine which ones we want to continue with and which ones we want to settle, because we do believe that some of them have been dragging on for far too long and that it might be easier to really get to specific settlements pertaining thereto. With regard to the restatement of corresponding figures, the AG has drawn our attention to some errors in financial statements. And indeed, we have asked our executive management to make sure that our financial statements are now prepared monthly and reviewed by the audit committee on an ongoing basis, rather than doing that at the end of the financial year and only discover then some of the mistakes. There's also the question of compliance with laws and regulations, particularly in relation to the submission of financial statements. And in this specific case, we submitted our financial statements not within the 2 month period that we have after the end of the financial year. And indeed, this ongoing preparation and review that we prefer to is going to deal with that. With regards to irregular expenditure, we have directed that deviations now must come right at the beginning as per federal regulation, rather than us condoning regular expenditure after the fact. And also, on the supply chain management side, Honorable Members and Honorable Chair, our FCM is currently undergoing a complete review to look at previous practices, and we are going to be taking appropriate action. That exercise is on as we are talking, and we have advertised, and indeed the recruitment process started last week with the shortlisting. We've introduced a senior supply chain manager, because our sector, Honorable Chair, runs a budget of more than R1 billion. And if you start factoring in your discretionary grants, you easily go into R2 billion and more. And therefore, we believe that supply chain has got to be good at a very high level. Investigations, indeed, as the chairperson has indicated, there are a number of investigations that have been taking place, and those have led to some criminal cases being instituted, and some settlements have been reached. There's an instance where a person was found guilty and sentenced to a fine of R80,000 and a 3-year suspended for 5 years. And so indeed there has been work in that area, and we are currently conducting our own investigations into some of our operations, the legal side of things, and human resources. And those investigations emanate, Chairperson and members, from some of the allegations we have been getting via a media report, as well as via some emails that have been sent to us. So we must indicate that we have found that those emails have been actually emanating from a staff member internally who is undergoing a disciplinary process, not for the allegations, but for disseminating these allegations just all over and not doing it through statutory bodies that we are supposed to report to. And indeed, we are also investigating those, because we also don't want to look like we are sweeping those under the carpet. With regards to the question of leadership raised by the AG, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, The question of the supervision of consultants, we've made it a point now that there's a steering committee that is focusing on the work done by consultants within the organization, and we have directed that consultants must only be appointed for those functions that cannot be performed by our staff members. Your high-level functions, such as your investigations, for example, and the establishment of systems of a technological nature, for example. And then the question of the lack of transfer of skills and knowledge from the consultants, we've made it a point that that's now embedded in the SLA. That is a requirement in the SLA, and no consultant works outside of the specific staff members responsible for that particular area also. And then the question of policies and procedures, performance information. We have remedied that since this board started. We've never not reported in time, for example, with the DHET in terms of our monthly and quarterly reports. Investigations, if I may now try and close my part, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The investigations that are referred to by the AG include previous executives and senior management who paid themselves. The net take themselves monies that we believe are not due to them. The matter is still with the Hawks, and indeed, even the Minister of Higher Education and Training, because we reported that it wasn't moving as fast as we want. He met with the Hawks, and indeed, there has been some movement there. With regard to some irregularities pertaining to mandatory grants, that is where we have that conviction I spoke about, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. And then the question of fictitious learners and skills programs, that is still under investigation by us. Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, those are some of the responses that we have put in place quite urgently as the accounting authority of this organization, having started in July of last year and having analyzed the organization. The CEO and the executive management have been given a specific directive that we now need more specific interventions on their part in relation to these matters that have been raised by the Auditor General. Mm-hmm. And with your permission, please, Honorable Chair. Our CEO could now present the specifics. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Honorable Chair and members. The presentation that I will give will focus on performance and also on the AG report. The first section is a strategic report. If you can go two slides down, under the perspective, right? We have inherited a system that our performance on mandatory grants is lacking. And if I can draw your attention to the last column of the slide, is that 73% of the employers that submitted the WSPs and ADR has been processed, but the bulk of that payment has been processed in this financial year. And I must say, Chair, that we have caught up with this financial year's payment to the extent that we are up to date. So in this year, we both processed the bulk of the previous year and this year's mandatory grant payment. In terms of our performance, what I have done is to look at last year's performance, but also indicated what we have done in the last two quarters of this year. I know we are at the end of the fourth quarter now. But if you can look at the total figures, so last year the result is 1,540 learners, and we can increase that to 32,988. And that is a substantial increase. increase and look at the focus and dedication of the team. So yes, the previous year performance was not up to date or up to scratch, but we have turned the organization around, indicating a substantial increase to that. Largest performance in terms of our quality monitoring, you can see that there was a focus from external or to external moderation and not focusing on site visits, because we needed to make sure that the organization is stable and that we can take it forward. I'm going on a very high level because I want to go through the AG findings and what we have done. In terms of the AG findings, we have implemented an AG tracker system whereby the specific findings in the different divisions were captured, the responsibility given to the management team, and that and the progress on closing those gaps are monitored in the weekly, monthly meetings. So I think one of the biggest issues in terms of our strategic plan was the alignment of our strategic plan with our annual performance target, and a significant change has been introduced in this year. So although we picked the situation up mid-year, we have aligned it so that there is complete talking to strategic objectives, APP, and also performance agreements of senior managers. So although the document for this year still carry over some of the challenges of that was found in the audit, there's been effort made to align that, but the new strategic plan at APP for the 14-15 year chair has been as a completely different story. So in terms of the mandatory grants, I have indicated what we have done there to bring the payments up to date, but we're also busy with aligning the mandatory grant and the fiscal grant in terms of the new regulations, so that we can speak to the aligning the fiscal grants to the pivotal plans. And in the 14-15 year, a completely new situation will emerge, where there's alignment in terms of the regulations. Okay. Record management has been a major challenge, and the reason for that is the lack of business processes and systems. And in some instances, or most instances, where the gaps were found in the AG report, the corrective actions were put in place. But those corrective actions are mainly intermediary corrective actions. We have embarked on a organization-wide process where business processes are reviewed, management systems are reviewed, so that we can put the whole operation of the organization on a transparent and a predictable manner to manage it in that way. So I'm not going to go through the details of the findings that they are in the audit tracker, so I'm just wanting to give them over. What we, maybe to give an indication of the process that is being developed to manage a whole lot of issues that came up in the Asia report, is that the learner will be linked to a ID number, and that ID number will be linked to the employer, the training provider, and the qualification, so that we have a continuous audit trail of how the money is spent on that learner and by when, so that we can make sure that the APP objectives are managed on an ongoing basis, and not be surprised at the end of the time. So, next slide. I think, Chair, one of the big challenges that we face with certification, and there are many legacy issues that has influenced our performance. Very, very important core competency was outsourced, and one of the issues that we are grappling with to catch up on our scanning certificates is the availability of information so that we can issue the certificates. But despite that, Chair, we have made quite substantial progress in this year, where we issued just from May last year to this year 11,000, and we have kicked off a special intervention that will allocate dedicated resources just dealing with backlogs, so that we don't take the current resources to deal with both backlogs and current, because that is where we are just finding ourselves in a bigger and bigger hole to get up to date. So we allocate the dedicated resources to deal with the backlog. Jay, human resources is probably one of the major challenges. And if we go to the next slide, the vacancy rate indicate where our major challenges is in the top management and middle management. And our ability of our staff, and I say capacity linking it with just both with ability and the warm bodies being there, is one of the issues that we've addressed or are addressing. We have embarked, as the Chair has indicated, on a recruitment process, and we want to turn that around as soon as possible. It is a major focus. There are critical vacancies that we have to fill to make this organization move forward. In terms of finance, shared, the qualification was mainly in terms of the commitment schedule, and the root cause of that is the lack of business processes, linking what we actually do, linking how we spend money, and managing and monitoring that. We have put quite a lot of focus on that, and as Jay indicated, we have monthly progress meetings to monitor the completeness of our commitment schedules with the audit committee. But what we have done also, Jay, is to make sure that we put a management system in place to bring predictability with us. So what we one of our plans for the end of March is to transfer all the existing projects, the legacy project, onto a new project management system, and we also updated our finance system to make sure that there's integrity. Our finance system has been out of date for a number of years, and the stability of the system is also questionable. So we're also putting the contract that we are entering into this year onto a new project management system, so that we clean up the past, and we also make sure that in future we do things in a predictable and transparent manner. I've actually summarized most of that in terms of the system that we have put in place. I don't want to repeat what we've done in terms of the supply chain management, maybe just on the way forward, the last slide. I think I've covered this about the other. Okay, so I've covered broadly the actions that we are pursuing, but I think the message that I want to give to this committee, Chair, is that we want to make sure that the business processes are in place, that the systems are in place, and that we have the right people in the right jobs to turn this organization around. And I think if we look at the performance indicators of our third and fourth quarter, it's an indication of where we came from and where we're going to go. Thank you.
much longer session. Can I take questions or comments? It won't be a question to the doctor, Chair, but what I want to say is the department, together with us, maybe in the future, Chair, we still need to sit down and say how best to oversee, or how best to lay our oversight to the entity that we've got to us. Because sometimes, really, we will rely on them for the data. As I'm saying, the administrator came with a very close report. We all, you know, we're all convinced that to say something is going to change in the future. But we are all disappointed now to get such a report. That will say, Chairperson, to us all, maybe now, sit at here smiling and saying things are changing. At the back of our minds, we'll be saying again, this is really true. And then we begin to work, not suffering each other, really, to say, having had such a good thing, having the idea that identify the wrongs that have been happening in the future, and the plan is there. But my worry again is, it's not for the first time we get such a plan. That my worry is there to say, how can we make sure that whatever is presented to us, the closer reports, the good reports that are promising are things that are really happening. It's beginning to worry me. And I will pose that question again, even to the department. Fortunately enough, they are part of us here. They are the ones, again, who must see to it that I might not be sure how they are doing, but on a daily basis, they know exactly what is happening, what they are encountering, how they are doing it, because even from them, we sit here, wait for the report, we even report to the community out there to say things are happening, but we all get disappointed at the end if we see that things are not happening. Because looking at what is happening here, really, I think we are disappointed by the future and by the future, and we must all accept that. That was just my picture, as I should say. Sometimes I'm even, you know, I don't even know whether I can even pose many questions, because most of the time they are reporting on the damages that they found, and they think they are going to correct and rectify them. If this is so, I think we can see our services future moving towards a good direction. That's the thing that I'm coming up with. So then, can we be disappointed for the last time? Can we hope that whatever plans we today, we are going to see changes, because at the end, we want to see the child benefiting. We want to see our people being skilled. We cannot tolerate that the government to see such a ratio of money and time. And Chair, lastly, I think as a government, the one thing we always emphasize, we are against corruption. And I think we must always emphasize that point. I was a little bit worried that I wanted to know more. With those people who have been charged, they have been charged, one has to pay 80,000. I wonder if 80,000 is asking how much, that should, you know. So, but those are the good steps I'm saying. If ever that is what we are doing now, please continue to do that. Let us see the inflation, the consequences that they deserve to pay. And people must know that once they rob the government, once they rob the lives of the people, discover inflation them from benefiting, getting what is due to them, let them face the consequences. That's what I wanted to say.
Thanks, good morning.
So what happens when we appoint an administrator? particularly from the department side of studies. When we appoint an administrator with the hope that it's our Messiah, and things turn out to be like, to me, it's a problem. Because after everything, God wears in getting an administrator, you hope to get out of that situation. You expect a turnaround strategy that takes you out, and that monitoring by the department to ensure that things do not go where you are, and should happen effectively. And if it can't happen effectively, it means you have got an issue not just with the system, the administrators, you have got an issue with the department. I think that should be very clear that we may not be as able to. To me, it has to go the long way. We may as well believe that if there was some collaboration with the department as these things were happening, particularly because monies are involved, you get worried about that. The IPL issue, it's a policy matter that we have been struggling to get it implemented properly. And I've seen in your slide, should I say it clean, or reporting that there's a lot of work, I can't remember the figure of this presentation, we don't have it ourselves, about 2,000, I think, of learners who underwent RPL. Will be interested even beyond this meeting chair to understand that, but I know we don't have much time, and I'm sure I've taken a bit long myself. But it's interesting to see that you have got such figures there. Whether indeed that's happening, on which particular basis, because some institutions have got difficulty implementing RPM, and it may be that the best practice that you may be employing may need to be shared even with other or your sisters or organizations. Thank you.
In the system administration expenses exceeded 10%, mainly due to expenditure relating to consulting. Cost in developing the strategic plan and annual performance plan. The AG found that 53% of the targets were not specific in clearly identifying the nature and the required level of performance, and 54% of the indicators were not well defined. Therefore, this means that there was no value for money. Why was the consultant used to develop the strategic plan and the annual performance of the indicators?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. When one looks at the AG findings and what the CTAC has to do, this paints a very good picture of what the CTAC has to do. But hopefully, this will not turn into the story of a man who crosses the road to help somebody else, but disregarding the roadside, he gets killed himself. And people say, oh, gosh, but he had good intention. Just hope that you won't turn into that tragedy. Chairperson, my main interest is on the transfer of skills and also the fictitious learners in skills program, tie that with learnership. Why am I concerned with this, Chair? I've had the privilege of attending some of
functions where youngsters have gone through the lenaces, were paraded into many graduation ceremonies and other things. But you could see in their faces that they were very sad, because I mean they've been put through this lenaces with no prospects of employment at all. But the person who was benefiting was the service provider. And in some instances, in fact, from the floor, we discovered one of the learners who asked whether it was a thing, or what could happen if a learner in the middle of the process gets expelled whilst the department still paying for those learners to get expelled, then the service provider gets all what is there. Now, what is the extent of these fictitious learners and skills broken? How big is the problem in terms of the numbers of those who are claimed to be in that learnership program? And also financially speaking, how big is the problem? One would like to know. And last question, when it comes to irregular expenditure, I read just recently, I think the new Auditor General, who was declaring the fact that he is confronted with the very largest of irregular expenditure. But in each of those, there are no sanctions. That's why this phenomenon keeps on repeating itself. You know? Besides those investigations, what other sanctions do you intend to put into place for people involved in these irregular expenditure? Because these people are occurring now and again. For now, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think, first of all, it is slightly problematic that this is the situation that we have a new CEO and a new board vacancy that will have required to be answered to us. We have to remember that when we look at this report, this institution is under administration. And if I look at, for example, we have the administrator's emolument, which went up in a year from 2.3 million to 3.4. And that is just ridiculous. And he sits with all the problems there. If you look at the report of the Board of Governance, there was nothing happening. There were board members, but they weren't functioning. So my question is, how was this allowed to happen? If one looks at, remember, this is still an institution under administration, you have an increase in overseas travel. What was the overseas travel for? When you're under administration, you should focus on doing your core business. And then just as a matter of great concern, if you look at bonuses. Bonuses increase. Now, once again, it's still under administration, but bonuses increased from 84,000 to 263,000 in 2013. What were the bonuses awarded for? On what basis? Was it for what performance? Which staff members? How long were they involved at the specific services seeker? Were these bonuses in fact earned? That to me is of great concern, Chairperson. And then I think it's very important that we get feedback on exactly how far is the service seeker with implementing and correcting the findings of the Auditor General. And we should have a report on that, a progress report.
Thank you, Chair.
This is a very disappointing. And but also appreciate that there's also a position of vote from the board. My question relates to the certification. My issue relates to the certification that you said you just issued about 11,423 certificates in terms of the other page. I think it's page 7, I don't know what slide number it is, but when speaking in terms of the challenges, it says you had an outstanding of 9,397 certificates. My question is that 11,000 that includes the other outstanding certificates, because I just want to get an understanding whether that 11,000 does include the outstanding or what is happening and what kind of challenge are we facing at the moment in terms of the outstanding of these certifications. Well, the other thing relates to the skills development program, where you spoke of that you had, I think, about 1,500 certain learners that have indicated that they've got those that being provided to those students in the previous years, 2013, 2013. And now you said you got, I think, about 2,000 investigation of those learners. I'm trying to check whether people can say the portfolio committee one evidence, and we can be able to change those things, because we've got the report figures in actually people have been training, but when you go in the ground, there are no students, people are being paid, and you can't find any evidence about it. So once you get a clarity whether you can be able to, you know, pinpoint head counts of those particular individuals. The other issue relates to your FCM. My view is that Supply Chain Management Act has an act that has been long time being amended in the department, in the finance department. And my understanding is that I can't understand how people do overlook such kind of important regulation. It really worries me. But then still, I'm saying, if really you provide a report to the department monthly, the department has to be blamed in terms of not monitoring all the lack of those challenges. One. Two, also the board must be also taken account in terms of how do they manage to, you know, not being able to see all those challenges. But I just hope they will start getting closer to these issues, because obviously that normally happens whereby you find a person and you think this person is good, but you find a person is not good at the end. I appreciate that you managed to take notice of that, but I also want a check. This matter must be taken into legal. A person must be arrested. If you entrust a person to put this person to an administrator, and he paint a good picture and a glossy picture in our eyes, that things are good. But later it's found that this person has looted some of the state money. This person must be arrested. The board must do something about it. That one, Chair, I just want to get you understand out of all the challenges that have been noticed now. CEO, how long do you intend to change things around? Are you intending that if it happens that as we go into the next term, around September, if the portfolio committee calls you, Would we be able to provide something different? What could be the picture? Because that's what you must be able to give. The hope that you give, but as well you must also have a timeline whether we are still going to see any changes. Thank you, sir.
Just to articulate the example given by Honorable Bonjan. You know, if you have got a medical emergency that they put on you, you can pass a red line and you may be not as liable for that. But in the course of passing, if you hit somebody, that may give rise to criminal and civil liability. Because the moment you get stopped after finding red robot and you say somebody died in a car, and you can see that you've got a person who must be in an ICU but is dying in your car, any reasonable police officer would allow you to pass hospital. But now it would seem that in this instance, this is not the this motorist passing red robot. He's a sleeping traffic officer on the side of the red robot who does not see any problem. He's on the department. I mean, we've got an administrator here who must be put on terms, who must be broken off in terms of performance. And this is the situation. Now, as if we are saying that to the department, you have got this good portfolio committee, good portfolio committee, that works together with you. And you seem to be sleeping because you realize that maybe we are not being harsh. And I've always been saying this, that this committee is not a harsh committee, it's a very reasonable committee. We would like you to go and look at the very used clear mirror that you have as a department in regards to checking on performance of all these entities accountable to the department. We've got 23, the sub-administrators, 21 staff, 25 universities, 50 FET colleges. I think we need to start stepping up there. There are red lines that are flashing and we must be careful about. I think what the committee says in the name is that the chairperson of the board should commit to a period in which the fifth parliament will get a report, progress report, regarding the major election in terms of this litany of issues raised. You may give a response to some of these issues, but one thing that is very key for us is to be able to say how are we going to go out of the woods. Because the services sector remains in a coma insofar as we are concerned. We need a surgeons who will mutilate this SCST in the theater, alternative theater. We need somebody who will resuscitate this coma. That's what we're saying. I think this department may have to respond on the main one. How are they really monitoring our institutions? I think having heard Professor Lutzer speaking about the money, the emoluments, so I'm really thinking of resigning and being an administrator. Telling the minister, where can I be an administrator? I'll do a better job for instance. I know I've been waiting the AG for the time of the year. I know what they are looking for. When they are talking about measurable objectives. I mean, you just say, I'm going to train 5 people and then when you report on the 5 people. And similarly, I don't even need a consultant to teach me that. I'll just drop my people into a house and say, how many dealerships? How many partners? And then we will produce an annual first plan. And the AG will be excited. As simple as that. And the AG has always been saying, if you don't know how to do this thing, call them. They are ready to come and help you. That's what they've been saying to me, right? And the office, and Mosate, you know, and Mosate, if I still remember the place. They are ready. So you don't need consultants. You just got a person allocated to the center. We are confused about listing of objectives. Where I come from, we don't have objectives. We always smile at the money. Funny days when the money is announced like this afternoon by the Minister of Finance. Afterwards, we use the money as we wish. That's what we are doing. Then you call them to the assist. I think that's the key message. Let's have responses to those questions. Sort something, but then the an argument as to when will the Parliament get the reports, because 80% of the people who see here are coming back. Those who don't come back have luck, but 80% of the people here are coming back. So even if we want the Inspectorial Committee, we'll require to come there. Members are allowed, we'll just come to make our questions and leave. So we need that commitment and then we go.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the question. I think, Honorable Chair, one must say we have an excellent board in this room. And I am talking as someone who's presiding over this board. I can even think that this is probably the best board among all the people. All the time we have been there, with all the work we've been doing thus far, we have not even once had to vote on any matter, because we discuss matters to a point where we all find consensus. And indeed, if you look at emails, you find emails going beyond midnight, including among board members. I think we have a board that is working very hard to turn this place around. And I can personally claim that I have done this work in two other sectors. And therefore, those are sectors that are now on the sectors, which is, we know how to turn it. The learner numbers we are talking about are learners that are registered in the in our system and for which we have entered into contracts as we are talking. Therefore, we are not talking about what we want to achieve. We are talking about something that is on paper in terms of contracting, and 121 service providers appointed in terms of discretionary grants in relation to those levels. And we should indicate, Honorable Chair, that that's a process that has stalled for more than a year. And within a couple of months, we made the point that it's completed. And with regards to extra disciplinary actions about money lost, an executive of this organization has already undergone a disciplinary process. And we are now waiting for the actual sanctions. The finding of guilt has been made, and we are talking about money that that this person took unlawfully, as far as we are concerned. And indeed, we shall be claiming them as well. But also with regards to the expenditure that one of the honorable members referred to in relation also to our former accounting authority, we have we have identified monies that were due to the former accounting authority. There are monies that we have questions about, and indeed we have asked our lawyer to request that those monies be paid back to the organization. Therefore, the point we are making is that we are not only taking a stance against some of these shenanigans, but we are actually active in relation thereto. We have an internal auditing function which we are interrogating, we must indicate, given the fact that the organization performs the way it has performed. We have already changed the audit committee that we found because we were concerned about how some of these things could have happened under that audit committee. and therefore when its term ended, we decided that we were not renewing it, and we have an interim audit committee, and we advertised for a permanent one. The CEO will talk to the question of RTL, but with regards to consultants for the strategic plan, Honorable Chair, what usually happens is that because the strategic plan is going to be based on research, which includes going out there, you tend to appoint researchers for the FSC, and you then build into that your whole issue of the strategic plan. The question of fictitious learners, Honorable Bojana, I was in the graduation ceremony you are referring to, I think, out in northern KwaZulu-Natal, Kanyabu. Yes. But similar issues were raised there indeed. We have started the process, as I have indicated, of ring-fencing all the projects that have been running. Because the truth is that we don't know how many fictitious learners we have. That is the honest fact as we are talking. But the process is that you research all these projects, you let each project a runner give you the specific names of the learners, and you phone the learners specifically to ensure that they exist. It has to go down to that kind of level. We did it at the construction center, and we ended up saving that it at 312 million there as a direct result of that. And therefore, we're following a similar approach there. Indeed, with regards to irregular expenditure, as already indicated, the decision is a very simple one. As the board, we will not condone irregular expenditure, at least from the time that we have been there. We say let any deviation be brought to us beforehand, rather than come to us as a condonement. And even the deviations must fall within the parameters of legislation, because you may not just have deviations within it. The administrator's emoluments, as indicated, there are certain instances where we believe that some monies that may not be the actual salary, but monies relating to travel, for example, monies relating to accommodation, for example, we are in this asking for those monies we believe are due to us. We're asking for those, though I must emphasize that the fundamental principle of innocence until proven guilty is one that we are following there. And therefore, we are saying, until we have concluded that process, we cannot say the former administrator is guilty of any wrongdoing. We are waiting for that process. Overseas travel, in the main, these were partnerships with different institutions that are operating within the skills and development environment. Some of those we believe we can justify, but we do believe that we must focus more internally rather than externally. The question of bonuses is a matter that stems from a performance agreement. If you have a performance agreement that is weak, you might end up paying bonuses even when the organization has not performed its functions. As a result, we are on the third and the fourth of this month holding a bonfire between management and the board. And we have said we want to see a program of action that's going to take us out of this, and performance agreements are going to be based on that rather than easy targets. In terms of correcting the findings of the AG, indeed we shall be reporting regularly. What we can say to this committee without any equivocation is that this the next audit report is not going to be worse than this one. That we can say. And the audit report for the financial year 2014-2015, we are now 2013-2014. 2014-2015 is going to be a clean project. That is a commitment we can make here publicly, because we have started on an organizational development process which is designed to achieve specifically that particular achievement. The CEO, that would be Debbie, I think Debbie Marshall, our executive public management development, will deal with the certificates with your permission, Chief Honorable Chair. And indeed, the question of supply chain management that has been raised very, very strongly here. As indicated, we are revamping that specific unit because we believe that some of the lapses there have a lot to do with a lack of skills. But also, honorable members, I want to go back to the point one made earlier on. You cannot have an administrator who is also CEO. You cannot have an administrator who is also CEO, because you then have a situation where the management is also the accounting authority. And we think that a whole lot of the findings we have here would not be here if that particular principle had been addressed. We do believe that it is not the right thing to do. The CEO will talk to how long we intend changing things around based on the organizational development process that we have started. Thank you for that.
So the time chairman was responding to this one, has to respond to some of the questions.
Thank you, Chair and members. I want to just start with the issue of RKL. This has become a very important strategic objective for us. So in our program, in our specific grant program, we have prioritized that in terms of our selection criteria. Although our target score was quite low, we have prioritized that, and the allocation to companies, some of the 121 companies that the chair has referred to, those companies will assist us in achieving that. With respect to the organizational intervention program, that program has definite timelines. There is a timeline for March, certain deliverables that make sure that the audit finding of the 12-13 year the 13-14 year will be approved. It then has a May timeline to where we identify critical issues to place the organization on a stable platform to make sure that we can move forward. And then it has, so every 3 months there are definite deliverables in terms of the overall objectives. So, and we can report to that. So by September, there should be substantial improvement in making sure the organization is stable and that some of the critical business processes and systems will be in place. But we will be able to provide a report by then. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So any other standing remarks?
That's the certification issue from Dave.
Chief Minister, I remember you raised the question around certificates. Under my tenure in the last year, what we've done was unfulfilled part of the 12-13 and the 13-14 year. We spent a considerable amount of time investigating the issues around certificates. And we've managed to actually now ring fence, and as the CEO put up on the slide there, ring fence outstanding certificates, and we call them in the division, we call them backlog certificates, and they range over a considerable number of years. And the other figure that the CEO raised and put on the presentation was currency sort of current processes. One of the things we had to do, and as Peter also pointed out, in terms of this particular area of focus, is understand and improve on the business processes, because they had generated quite significantly. We also had to understand the figures going back, as I said, a number of years. So now going forward, what we've done is, and as CEO points out, we have we understand what that number is. We know the number, we know the providers, we know the geographical dispersion of those certificates that happened during a period when the entire quality assurance function was outsourced to a service provider. Now we understand that we bring things that, and in the next week we in fact actually appointing a audit company to deal with going to find the learners, almost a tracer study audit and disperse those certificates. But it's a division also that runs current learning. Learning comes in every single day and these figures run into their hundreds. So it was a deliberate decision so that the current staff in the division did not get sidetracked by the old legacy stuff that was inherited and had through the investigations. So that will be dealt with, and will be dealt with in the next 3 months, the legacy certificates. And also it will be archived. If learners can't be traced, providers can't be traced, the information will be set aside. So if someone does actually phone 6 months from now, and we can trace that learner, while the division carries on with the huge demand for the teacher to achieve its target of, you saw the figures in the presentation, the division needs to focus on quality assurance of that learning, so that it's meaningful in the community, it's meaningful out there, people are able to actually contract employment with the services of qualifications, and we need to certificate those learners for that endeavor. The board's been working very hard with the division, and in fact the indicators are now very concrete. The staff know what the turnaround times, what the performance indicators are, and are dedicated to them. And that's why you can see that figure just between May and the beginning part, in fact, of February this year, over 11,000 certificates printed, distributed to learners that have come through the system, and have managed to do that with clear direction and with the necessary leadership now under the CEO, and I think we're well on the way to delivering against the targets.
Thanks very much. Let me thank the chairperson of the board, Ms. Mahadi, and the team from the services at the presentation. And we welcome the whole story of Thailand in the future. Let's break for 5 minutes to allow certain outcomes and suggestions.
I'm going to go to the next slide. Gracias.
Let's allow the hiding space of local Dharma seekers to lead the presentation.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the portfolio committee, good morning and thank you very much for the opportunity. Perhaps very quickly though, unlike the before, just to help introduce the team that I am with here, to my extreme left, Mr. Omega Shelembe, who is here for the CICA, appointed from the Department of Education Training. To my left is Mr. Jackson Maudi, with the team that we are acting with the finance ministry before the arrival of the CFO. To my right is Mr. Philo Mukwela, who is with those men who place the learning programs manager at the CICA. Mayor Lucella is assisting with the setting up of the project management unit, part of the contribution I speak to, and Annika Jacobs at the end is the official manager for the Western Cape. Masculine acceptance to the approach adopted by the first speaker, I shall give you the few things at the start of the presentation, and with the permission of yourself and one of the members, I was the first declared member of the team to deal with other sections because we already have the team. I think first of all, Chair, if the presentation could be put up. Members. My name is Nava Nadella. For my sins, I'm the administrator of the local government. Now, as we said, of course, yeah, the presentation will basically cover a very brief introduction, which I will do myself. We'll talk to the strategic overview of the organization in terms of our mandate. I will then request the CFO to deal with the financial performance, the financial information. We will then also, together with the other colleagues, share the non-financial performance reporting. So, many with the learning programs manager will deal with the performance reporting and covering all the strategies of the future. If you don't deal with HR, then I'll come back and deal with the other things. I hope, Chair, that we will not take too long has directed by themselves so that they have enough time within the 1 hour of discussion. I think by way of background, therefore, Chairperson, as we are aware, the speaker that came before us has just come out of administration. This speaker, the local government speaker, is under administration, and the reason for that, very briefly, as members are aware, the speaker in the financial year 2011-2012, which I think was the first time he was already involved, received a disclaimer opinion, audit opinion from the Auditor General. For various things, primarily irregular expenditure, primarily the schedule of commitment being unable to be accounted for properly. Now, I don't know, Chairperson, to what extent. I know there was a lot of interaction that took place between the CISA itself, as well as yourself and the committee, and of course the department at the time. The management report of the CISA was in excess of 100 pages for that financial year, as well as the one under which we are. That means, I always say to the people, if you look at that thing, things were so bad at the CISA that just about every transaction that took place in the organization, whether it was around projects, discretionary grants, and for the services of the organization, just about everything there was something wrong with. Whether a small little thing like tax, clearance certificates were not there, to your bigger things of really not following processes when you do some of the things. But there was so much that was wrong with. And I think also that the committee will be aware that in that same year or the year after the conclusion of that financial year, in the same year 2012, the CISA failed to submit its annual report to Parliament on time as it required, and actually an issue as an extension. I think the department also experienced the same, because around the same time as it required also, all entities are supposed to table for approval by the executive authority. They are draft set plans, ATPs, and in our case of CISA, sector skills plan, SST. The CISA again was unable to do that. There was further interaction between the CISA. At the time, it was obviously the time of interim reporting, which we feel that we are also currently now under. And even the AG himself, by the membership of the CISA, appeared for yourself, I think, for the 27th of February last year. Come and present the annual report like we are doing now, but there was at the time interaction around what was to come. And I remember you were very strong to indicate that the picture that the CISA was presenting had not been what you were getting from them. And indeed, I am sorry from the Auditor General to do your exercise. And indeed, the AG at the time themselves and voluntarily and proactively as part of the showing that the situation is not allowed to go on any of these. Also, if there is no intervention that is made, the same picture which would have prevailed in the previous year, 2011-12, was indeed. And I think because of all of those things then combined, and in clear desperation, I suppose, by the executive authority as well as on advice from the department, as well as the very same sentiment, by the way, that was prevalent among members of the committee at the time. The minister then acceded and took the advice, and indeed the speaker was placed under administration at that period. Now, I'm just putting this background to paint a picture of what was inherited and therefore the context within which this report is being taken. This therefore means that since the speaker was placed under administration at that time, we came in and oversaw the process of developing the report, of complying with all the rest that had to happen, auditing and all of that, but it was for work that happened in the period before our arrival. I think it becomes important, because we then in the report, report factually on what has happened, and then we report on what we have been doing, much like the first has done, what we have been doing as a response to what we found in the organization. This is just background. I don't even need to get into this. This applies to all speakers. The vision of this speaker, which is something that we are also looking at, is to be the foremost speaker producing an extraordinary skills and capital local government sector. I'm certain, Chairperson, as much as we are only now starting the process of rebranding and doing this, even this type of thing, but I'm quite certain that the speaker is not going to speak. Something within the sector, but not for the future. Commission of the Press promotes and coordinates youth development initiatives and strategic sectoral training interventions to enhance efficiency and effectiveness of the local government sector through doing the work that most of us do not get. Our values are Ubuntu, transparency, professionalism, and respect. Jefferson, I think before I hand over, I think from this point I will hand over to the CFO to do the first part of the presentation on financial aid. Maybe just to touch on one or two issues around the broader issues, some of the governance and other things that we see. First and foremost, as we are aware, the future did receive certification in the year under question. As I have mentioned in the whole background that I think, we do honestly believe, and this was confirmed also through interactions with the Auditor General, that had the CISA not been placed under administration, whether this report is because the qualification is always kept on a number, but we would be looking at an even worse report. I think that goes without saying. Within a short period of time, just through ensuring that, which is the big thing, that there was no leadership, that there was no cooperation with the AG, which I think was the biggest issue, Chairperson, the last time we met in this forum, that the CISA was unable to cooperate with the AG and produce and reproduce things, so that at least, however bad things are, but there's a clear account of what has happened. Just at that level, we would not have been able to do that in the workplace dimension. The basis for the qualification, as is reported in the report, is the same law commitment, which we shall be speaking in more detail to, as well as the regular expenditure. I also spoke to in terms of the transition becoming the transaction in the organization. The chairperson of the service officer spoke of a period at the start of any administration process or period of what he calls the paralysis of the investigation. Indeed, when you go into an environment that has become so bad that such an intervention is required, inevitably then you find yourself spending a lot of time basically trying to do a proper analysis and diagnosis of what went wrong. And that goes including formal paralegal processes of investigation, including forensic investigation. We've done all of those things ourselves. Throughout the report we'll be touching on what we have done and some of the things that have come out of that. But that has taken up a lot of our time. I always say that people who find themselves on the receiving end of such processes, by their very nature and by the very nature of the things that have happened, you then ensure that they take time and that they spend resources so that you are locked into and those processes and such things step on and on. They have indeed taken up a lot of our time, but we do believe that we are on the verge of concluding most of them and that we are making good progress on that question. We have also, as we will then, detail the reporting, so move quite a great deal in addressing and responding to each of the findings of the Catalonia Home Center now. And we are also reporting for this financial year. And it's something for me that I really hope, not necessarily in this platform today, but I really hope that it's something that will generate discussion between yourselves and the committee doing oversight, and I know that the members are always interested to say, where are these people, what is happening, as we had earlier on, the department and ourselves as CISA. Because we will be reporting separately that notwithstanding all the problems and the poor performance as we know it in terms of the functionality of the organization, but we'll be reporting exceeding most of our targets. And that is something that we are quite keen on having a discussion on. And of course, as I said, then we will conclude by showing the members way forward in terms of where we are and how we see the process moving forward conclusively and comprehensively to respond to all these clients. At that point, I would then like to hand over to our financial officer, Mr. Shalembe, to get into the details of the financial process.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, honorable members, for this opportunity. I'm going to go through the financial performance report. I am aware that members will have the opportunity to go through the report itself, so I'm just going to run through the numbers and let's explain them to give more detail on the auditor general's findings and what can be used about those findings. Here we're just showing our sources of income. We break our income into administration income, special branch income, investment income, monetary income, with a little bit of financial interest to get any financial care use for the second time. And my literary grant constitutes about, or at least for the year duration, constitutes a 2.8% and professional income 10%, administration, use of income, and financial organization. We have shown how our income is distributed by profit, including how can we be united as a contributor, coming after using the quantity of child in the same period, but most of the time that can be done with other profits at the same level. Mandatory grants also then use up the grants we pay back to municipalities on publishing of the WSPs, HCRs. These also go back largely to the high contributing municipalities of our network in the same case. We've shown again the distribution of professional grants versus expenditure. It is clear in the diagram that expenditure on professional grants has been below budget, especially in the year in question. Mandatory grants have been almost on budget on the time. Administration is slightly below budget for 2012-2013, as well as work is slightly above budget in 2012. As a result of not spending all the funds, we then realize surplus funds. In 2010-2011, there was a deficit, just a small deficit, followed by surplus of 728,000, and in 2012-13 a bigger surplus of just over 62 million. The next diagram shows the reserves as we have been accumulating these realized surpluses over the years. We are currently sitting at almost 400 million of in the next slide, we are showing the remuneration of accounting authority members. It is clear in the presentation that only two members were remunerated, while the rest of the other members got reinvestment for expenses in case in relation to the organizational responsibility. Then I get to the financial performance and the auditor general's report. As our administrator has already indicated, there were two key findings that should have changed in the qualified audit opinion for the LG future in 2012-13. The basis of the opinion was with respect to professional grants reserve commitment. The AG found no proper records and reconciliations were maintained for professional grants reserve commitment, and that the accounting authority did not approve commitments relating to the 2012-13 and prior years. What have we done to remedy this situation? As a finance unit, we have had to rework the commitment schedule and correct it accordingly. That has entailed going back to historical files and records, extracting and recapturing the new information. We have also initiated a process of validation similar to what the data is doing, trying to validate whether these commitments are legitimate or not. What we find in this process is that there is a large number of contracts or projects which have already expired but still have commitments in our books. So we are in the process then of initiating a validation process so that we are able to eliminate these expired contracts which are no longer active in our books. Also, the AG said we did not approve the commitment relating to 2012, the limit of the limit. We are now in the process of ratifying all those limits because we've gone through the minister's staff, they are written, except that they are not signed. We have also listened through the case of those issues, and then we are in the process of the administration to ratify those limits so that they are properly approved. On irregular expenditure, the Auditor General found irregular expenditure was not properly recorded, and thus there was uncertainty whether or not irregular expenditure had been disclosed in the annual financial statement. We have
in this respect, implemented a new procedure to monitor and report on irregular expenses. Prior years, we've restated when we do our financial, and the process is underway to report and condone prior year irregular expenses. If I was to just give a context of this irregular expenses, this is currently sitting in our books now as 259 million accumulated over the years. So there has never been a process of reviewing these and condoning them. But for the year in question, 2012-13, the irregular expenditure was 36.7 million, of which 4 million was in operation and 33 million was in discretionary funds. The Auditor General also raised what they call the emphasis of NECA, where they raised other issues about our financial. They said we repeated the financial annual financial statement. Indeed, that was the case. Most of the misstatements had to be corrected and therefore repeated the product. And as a result, the finalization of the review of sustainable opening balances has been done, and our opening balances has been repeated. So when we do our numbers this time around, we're hoping that there is going to be similar to what I heard from the services theater. We have also decided that every month now, leading towards the year end, from end of December, we are passing our annual financial statement and so towards the year end, so that we are able to pick up the potential statement areas and correct them. Luckily, the AG is cooperating with us in this exercise, and they are assisting us in picking up the statement as we lead up to the year end. There was also a finding on that the predetermined performance objectives were found to be inconsistent, not specific, not precise, and not well defined and abstract. To this extent, because we got to the LGC when the ACP had already been finalized for this current financial year, we have not changed any findings and have addressed it in the 2014 strategic plan. There were also other matters raised by the Auditor General, ranging from the compliance with the laws and regulations. They say the annual financial statement, performance report and annual report were not prepared in accordance with Section 51. As a result, then there were material misstatements which were recorded in the annual financial statement. Most of these misstatements were corrected at the time of the audit. And the statements which could not be corrected were the statements relating to the commitment to achieve, which is why we had a qualified notice of income. As I have just indicated, we had an adequate year-end plan now to submit financial statements with no material statements in place. We're going to do this as we refine our annual financial statements on a monthly basis. There were additional members matters about non-compliance to treasury regulations that we did not approve their risk management structures, which included the first prevention plan. This was also not communicated to employees to ensure that management risks of the entity are identified. These have since been corrected for the year in question, or not for the year in question, but for the current year, 13-14 months. The AG also found procurement and procurement contract and management was non-compliant to treasury regulation. In other words, our FPM statute, which prescribes that you must get three price quotations or on a competitive bidding, depending on the different thresholds of those amounts being procured. To this regard, the supply chain management policy has been finalized, we have revised and the FPM policy and are implementing and it complies with the relevant legislation. The AG also said there were no preventative steps to prevent irregular expenditure and to prevent irregular expenditure as required by the TFM. We have now developed processes for the approval of expenses that we incur in a way to prevent irregular expenditure and to prevent irregular expenditure. Required by the
can we also general commentaries on internal controls on general leadership as well as financial and performance management? It says improvements in financial and performance management were not fully realized. In other words, from 5 years to year in question, there were no improvements in financial and performance management. And it also says the review and monitoring controls were not effective in preventing a schedule being taken in financial statements as I have spoken in the HH. To this effect, we are now implementing internal control processes, which is a result of the review that we have taken, and are making improvements in order to comply with the requirements of the financial. There were also findings on governance generally, which relates especially to the risk management, as I have indicated, not a risk management strategy, and therefore there were no appropriate risk management interventions to ensure regular risk assessment. To this effect, we have a management completed a risk assessment process, and an internal audit plan has been developed based on the risk assessment. The accounting authority was found not to have complied with appropriate address and identified internal control deficiencies and non-compliance with the laws and regulations reported in the prior year during the internal audit. It also reported that the internal audit function was not functional throughout the year in question. As I have indicated, an adequate risk-based internal audit plan is currently being implemented. Certain sections have already been completed and audit reports are submitted to management and the audit committee. That is it, Jeffrey, and I'm excited. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I will briefly go through the three programs, E2A, E2C, and learning programs, specifically focusing on performance information for the students and the teachers of learning. In regards to the fact that you have been able to go through the annual report so far, I'm just going to focus on the ones where there were variances in terms of underperformance, and what measures were put in place in order to address this debate. Under Program 1, which is the E2A, and we all are aware of the fact that the purpose of the E2A program, of course, is to ensure that quality provision of learning happens. It includes quality assurance expansion, quality assurance of learner achievements, accreditation of providers, and more specifically so these days in our lives, which is very important, the design of qualifications, specifically in places of local government, were sufficiently old. Unfortunately, in fact, the designing of qualifications were not achieved as hoped, due to the fact that the processes were so new, and we assigned the biggest reason for not achieving our objectives as a result of the inexperience as well as the long process it took to, at the end of the day, get qualifications registered with CCCO. So that was with regard to the CCCO. Next slide. On this area, we also just had one underperforming area, and that is in terms of where we had quality assurance of learner achievement, where we said that we would achieve 6,000 learners, or verify 6,000 learner achievements during the 2012-13 financial year. We recorded 18,000 for the NLRP, and therefore underachieved with 2,000 learner records. This is also largely due to the fact that a lot of the programs didn't take off as was planned in terms of local government specific qualifications, and that was really the reason why we couldn't achieve the full 50,000 during 2013 financial year. Next slide. As far as program 2, which is learning programs, is concerned, and I know the one question the administrator certainly asked when he joined the LCC was, how is it possible that, and in spite of the fact that the budget, there wasn't much sufficient grant funding used, we still managed to achieve our targets. There are various reasons which can be ascribed to this, but one of the reasons which you also want to highlight is the fact that our targets were quite conservative, as well as in many instances when allocations are made previously, in most instances we only are able to get all the learner records which we then report to the Department of Higher Education and Training in terms of having the correct evidence in place. And that, in many instances, you get that at the last quarter of the previous financial year, and it gets reported the next financial year. We are also, and the CFO was talking about the predetermined objectives, which was not verified. I think a lot of speakers are guilty of that, and I see the chairperson is willingly offering himself as consultant on the predetermined objectives. And yes, it should be a simple process. However, this has become an issue with the previous speakers, specifically with regard to Alpha Theta and the AG, where we, in our minds, had very clear terms objectives, but in terms of them requiring an extra evidence, they saw that we were lacking. So this has been addressed, this process has been addressed. So in terms of the flag currency in front of you, we managed to achieve all our objectives, but I will go to the summary slide which shows in terms of areas where I think especially members from this committee are more familiar with the numbers. Okay, here we have one underperforming area, and that is really learners in municipality, so this is our employed learners, where we couldn't achieve our target. We underperformed by a number of 9, which is rather not significant. But the reason why we had this underperformance largely in this case was that a number of projects were identified and students as a result of issues could not be awarded as we went through the tender process. The next slide 4.2. AET unfortunately remains a big challenge in implementing, in spite of the fact that a large number of our municipal officials are unemployed. There's a clear indication that we require literacy, improvement in literacy levels. However, we find it very difficult to get people on our training programs as a result of fact that work demand, especially for lower level workers, is a big challenge. There's currently an investigation in place to look at alternative methods, including e-enablement, AEC training, to see whether that could possibly assist in addressing the serious gaps we have. The next slide is probably something familiar to you. As you can see, we managed to do well in terms of entries, but when it comes to the certification, I think where we are still falling short in the year regard. Can you go to the next slide? Technical planning. In terms of effective skills planning, and the purpose, as you know, is really to ensure that we have credible research available so that when we develop our effective skills plan, it is based on those evidence. So one of the issues which we have put in place, and it relates to the fact that we also want to ensure that when we implement a learning program, that we actually go and physically visit municipalities. And this is the one area where we fell short. And certain monitoring processes have been put in place, but still not quite there. So we had a target of 720 performance monitoring visits, so this is basically where our provincial officers would go and visit our projects in the various municipalities. The target there were 720, unfortunately only 60 visits were conducted, and this is largely due to the lack of capacity in our provinces. However, although visits were done, the AG could not see the actual evidence, and therefore we could not report that we actually did some physical visits because the evidence was not really there. So we're working on ensuring that more reliable verification information is there. And then in the last slide, as you can see again, there's no specific variances, so I wouldn't comment on that.
As the administrator indicated in the opening, a year ago when we took over the heading of the Health Department, one of the things that she did was to commission informal diagnostic exercise to try and understand the nature of the diseases we're dealing with, but also from an HR perspective, to try and understand where the people are at, the skill sets within the organization, and general perception about how people feel about working within the health sector. The results of the diagnostic confirmed the following, and I'm not going with all of them, but generally it confirmed the non-compliance to regulations, both as indicated on the financial side, but also in terms of labor laws within South Africa. One of the biggest findings was confirmation of the lack of capacity in terms of human resources. What we also found is that the institution interestingly lacked a very solid operational level within the organization. So we have an organization that was staffed largely by very senior management and junior members of staff who are very administrative and clerical in their roles, and therefore they're quite transactional, which left quite a big gap in terms of the organization's ability to actually carry its mandate. For instance, if you look at the C-section, which has the core mandate of conducting and analyzing research that then informs the sector's plan for the organization, that is one of the areas where we found that we were most lacking in terms of human resources. There is, it's worthy of mention, the fact that one of the findings was that the operational structure, we call it an operational structure because we will see on the next slide that since 2010, there actually was no organizational structure that has been approved for the CETA. The process from around 2010 until 2013, September last year, there's been quite a bit of wrangling about the approval of organizational structure, which also facilitated the issues around recruitment and gender capacity for the organization, because as a result, there was a moratorium placed on all recruitment. There obviously was a big problem with a lack of critical institutional infrastructure, policies and procedures. And then from a cultural perspective, we found that there was a leadership vacuum, there was also a very big silo mentality, and for an organization with the type of national footprint as what CETAs and the LGBT CETAs have, it was exacerbated by us, because what we then found was an organization that ran almost independently in every region where you found presence of the CETA without a core corporate identity leader. So this is the LG CETA. For your benefit, I just projected the structure in terms of the operational organizational structure that we had inherited with the CEO at the helm and before core executive managers. And then provincially, we have six provinces, and each one of them with a provincial manager. the next slide concentrates on the employee cost, personal cost of the visa, and that is included in the annual report that was submitted to yourself. But basically, just to explain it, it just deals with the percentage of personnel, the first slide deals with the percentage of personnel and expenditure per program as compared to the total expenditure for the unit. And then the next one just gives a bit of an outline of the cost in terms of all the organizational levels within the organization. Chairperson and the committee, this is an interesting slide because it was a bit of a challenge for us to try and reconstruct the information so that we're able to report on the vacancies of the organization, because we're dealing with, it would have been the easiest thing to have an approved organizational structure that is then juxtaposed against the existing human resources within the organization. But as already indicated, because there was no organizational structure that has been approved, it was a very difficult thing to do. So what we looked at is the approval of this structure as at 2010, and then the positions that were not filled up until 2013. And that slide gives you that indication of where the vacancies within the organization resided. And the two most memorable ones that I can mention was the absence of a CFO, as well as the corporate services and HR manager. The next slide just seeks to give you an indication of the movement within the organization in terms of exits, step in within the organization, and the people that are in terms of whether people were terminated or not, and how many people were appointed. This slide, the next two slides are quite interesting because they show you capacity within the organization, just opposed against the fact that on the one hand, when we came on board, we were trying to build the capacity, but because of all the changes within the organization, because of the inherent instability that that created, we have actually resulted in losing quite a number of staff. Mr. Chairman, can I ask you to please move to the next? You will see when you look at that slide that the senior management level, we've had four resignations to date. I am aware, and I'm taking for your indulgence, because we are reporting here on the previous year. However, it was important to note that as of 2013, when we took over, we felt that it's important to just bring to attention the number of people we've lost, whom we've lost in the organization. So there was a total of 12 resignations, and four of those at senior management within the organization. In terms of organization, the administrator had reflected on the fact that one of the things that we did together with the formal diagnostic of the climate of the organization was a formal forensic exercise, which obviously confirmed a lot of the findings of the AG's report. And based on that, we then did disciplinary action against and police of the organization. Four people to date have been placed on suspension. One, a provincial manager, the supply chain officer who was the sole person running the supply chain unit. I can also report that as of three days ago, we have received a finding of guilty, and we are now waiting for the sanctions. And then, of course, communications officers within the organization. That process has been quite time-consuming, because as you would know, while we try and deal with it as expeditiously as possible, the employees will try and find every possible avenue to delay. And there have been a number of tactics that have been thrown at us, but we have just remained on course and very resolute in the fact that we have to finalize these before the end of the financial year. I also felt that it was important for this committee to at least give an indication of the different areas in terms of our turnaround strategy that HR was going to be focusing on, starting with the operational redesign process within the organization, recruitment build capacity, establishment of policies and performances, performance management, the institutionalization of a proper performance management system, and of course then building capacity in terms of skills, upskilling the employees within the organization, in terms of investing in the things of the future itself. Employee wellness, an organization such as ours does not go through the type of trauma that it has gone through and remain unscathed. So it's also an important thing to invest in a proper employee wellness program such as the organization. Rewards and recognition we have found, and I would also like to just a bit to the committee that in the past few months we have put quite a bit of resources and time and effort into looking for critical positions within the organization. And in interesting, we find that apart from the fact that there of course is a profile of the future of the LGBT within the market and therefore then makes it very difficult for us to attract certain caliber employees, the truth is that also remuneration and the philosophy of the organization has not made it easy for us to get the best possible employees within the salaries that the organization offers. And then of course the development of a proper change management strategy that is aligned to leadership development and the key efforts of leadership within the organization. In terms of the initiatives that we have put in place today, as of the end of September 2013, we approved the organizational structure, a very ambitious organizational structure, as I may report, because it actually is a true reflection of what we believe is the best capacity of what the speaker would require in order to carry its mandate. But unfortunately, what that does is that it's got very real implications in terms of numbers of people that you employ, and therefore then your salary bill and your remuneration bill, and you operate within very clear confines of what you can and cannot spend on certain aspects. After we approved the organizational structure, we are now in the process of finalizing the migration of existing employees of the organization from the old establishment into the new establishment. And an executive decision was made that the two processes will run parallel because there are key and core positions within the organization that we need to be pushing for externally, and we cannot because there is no capacity internally. If I can give an example, we have proposed on the structure, because the future is a project-intensive environment, there's a requirement for a dedicated TM unit, which has never been in existence before. And the setting up of a unit like that requires that we get people with specialized skill and knowledge on how to actually manage projects and national projects. And then, of course, we have looked at business, the revaluation, and I heard that our counterparts at the business teachers are also looking at doing the same thing. We're proud to report that at the end of January, we signed off on reanalyzed and reevaluated job processes for the entire organization. So we have set about defining all of the processes that underpin the work of the teacher. And coupled with that, we also finalized and approved the job profiles for the entire organization, clarifying all the roles within the organization from all levels within the organization. And following on that, those two processes form a very solid basis in the foundation for a proper performance management system for the organization, I think.
Thank you very much. We are taking longer than we have thought, so I'll try to move speedily along. I know that in my previous life, I think I used to be a part-time manager. I have to speak very quickly so that we can move. But let me try. Over and above, and I think underpinning a lot of what has been the problem with the organization, and I'm sure a lot of people agree, and this now really speaks to some of the other outside what we've already touched on, some of the other interventions we are making to move the organization forward. In the whole area of ICT and capacitating and modernizing the organization through proper and functional and efficient ICT platforms, and that's really part of what we are now doing, as well as of course responding, because there were also AG findings around that movement. This one is just what we seek to do, which is really ensuring that the organization has got a sound, prudent, financial as well as other information management systems. And that's what the organization sought out to do, but that's what really has not happened to us. So one of the findings, for instance, from the AG was that financial and performance management, the AG found that the ICT controls were not implemented to ensure proper and contribute to what was said earlier on. What we have now done, following, again, building a little bit of capacity around that area, which had never been there before. One of the things, if I may mention honorable members, which may also explain some of the urgent short-term interventions we've had to make, but also which explains a lot of the things that have gone wrong in this organization. This organization, for all intents and purposes, was a sham. Yes, the people that we spoke about playing the different roles, but if you look at an important area like information communication technology, there was no one employed by the organization responsible for it. Everything was outsourced to a service provider who basically was doing their own thing, no value for money in most instances, and no one who looks over them and makes sure that they are doing what they need to be doing. And as such, we have now, in fact, as of this coming Friday, terminated a lot of the services that service provider was doing. Unfortunately, others we couldn't almost immediately, but have started building internal capacity in the organization because that is the correct thing to do. The same applies to many other things. If we talk about the project management, the organization oversees millions of discretionary plans and projects, but have never had proper project management capacity in the organization that ensures reporting, that ensures monitoring, that ensures proper processes of government around projects, including initial approvals, which is a big thing for the AG to say that projects were not approved properly. So I'm just touching on it to say that there's a lot of catching up, Honorable Khazelo, that we had to do before we could even then start to move to do the things we needed to do. We had to start from saying what are the basic things that need to be in place. Anyway, we have now adopted the recently approved, I think last year or 2 years ago, the CSA policy framework for ICT, which is to address most of the stuff that has been a problem, ICT risk management, ICT internal audit, all of those things. Maybe let me speak to Senator. So there's a lot of work on ICT related platforms, both for the performance of the organization around ECQA, around just basic management information systems in terms of projects, but also to then interface and support the other enterprise related issues of finance management and all those things that also have to be connected together. And the same PMU that we are now establishing will also have its own system that interface with it, so that as things are moving, when there is approval of projects, it talks to all other systems that need to happen. It talks to the finance system in terms of what needs to be done. It talks to the monitoring system. The whole ICT modernization of the organization is a big area that we are focusing on. Masudula, I've touched on most of these things, really, as well as communication between the office and between head office and the provincial office. I still don't understand. I said to the chief, I sat in an office in East London the one time, and then we were running a project, so there was intense communication between us and head office. And every time you have to talk to someone at head office, the telephone call is costing money. So to speak to someone in the bedroom, when you're sitting in the lounge in your own house, you pay someone else to make that call. I mean, that's by way of an analogy. So this is one of them. We're talking to different offices among ourselves. So there are a lot of inefficiencies. There's a lot of, my view is that there was not a lot of thinking around some of these things. And we are trying to attend to all of these things, including building capacity, because the poor people decisions we call them to do, often we're always neglected. Half the time their ICT systems were down, and the connectivity, and therefore their ability to do their work, to do research, downloading, all of those things is what we are attending to. Now, lastly, Chairperson, hopefully very quickly, just to touch on, the Chairperson of the service, which is a scope of this paralysis of investigation. When we came in, a lot of project work and therefore meeting and implementing the NSGS3 and our own target on the APC, inevitably had to be suspended, had to be put on hold for two main reasons. The first reason was the fact that we had to ensure that fit the machinery of the organization such that as we start to spend money under this administration, we are not falling into the same trap of the things that we have come into. And I think the discussion earlier without any passing of any judgment, but I think the discussion of the Minister pointed directly, or for me personally, as the administrator and the decision that took, points to vindicate the correctness of that decision, because you don't want at the end of the day to also yourself as administrator to be found to have violated things, whether deliberately or because you have not ensured, or too negligent, because you have not ensured that things are in place, you ensure that as you start spending money, things are going well. we believe that we have now done that, and I will talk to that now. But the second issue, which the Kunas has done, is the simple fact of the fact that there were just no people to do the wedding organization. There were not enough people, there's still hands now, to do all the turnaround interventions, all the things we've spoken about, as well as to run projects. There just were not enough. Not enough managers to sit in different committees to do the work that we have to do. So it took a bit of time. It took a bit of time. We still are in that situation, but we started to play catch-up. I think, without getting into detail, all members of all of those things, maybe through the entire thing, we can get into some details. But broadly to say that as of the late, towards the end of last year, we have then started the process of accelerating the implementation of projects. Unfortunately, even the evaluation of those projects that are to be done because of the same capacity issues I'm talking about have taken longer. But where we are now, we are at a point, Chairperson, and the department is here. Our third quarter report still doesn't look good, but in all my monthly reports, I have been explaining where we are and what we are doing. So without any fear of contradiction, our fourth quarter report and therefore our full year report will show much improved numbers. That is the result of all the work we are now doing. We are now in the process of awarding things, of signing contracts with providers, with colleges, with many different institutions that will be doing the training. And we will, certainly, for most of them, not everything, especially as those were mentioned on the certification on the other hand, but certainly on entering people, workers and unemployed on the various categories that we have to deal with. We will in this report meeting and in many instances actually far exceeding our target. So Chairperson, once again we thank you very much. We concluded by just expressing, reiterating what you said, that this is the report of a year before our arrival. We hope we have, and we entitled members, we hope we have shown all the good work that we believe we are doing to turn around the situation. None of this of course is possible without the guidance and the support of the department. Chairperson, I know earlier on that say they are sleeping on the job. But in my case, specifically, and in our case, I really want to express our appreciation. They are always a phone call away. They are always pushing us. They are always making sure that we are doing the right thing. And so far, Chairperson, I really do believe that we've made significant progress with the limited time that we had, and we are waiting to hear what is the way forward in terms of completing all the work. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, our members. We are not doing well on time. We have got to approve ahead of 3 minutes and look at our leaders and report outside the engagement. I would perhaps suggest that within about 10 minutes, let's see how we'd like to engage with this report. Honorable Bojani, our minister, our students.
Thank you. Just one question.
Yes.
I must admit I may not fully be confident with the workings of this sector. But on page 39 where we talk of mandatory grants, these are the grants from sector to municipalities covering their what we call workshops, skills plans, general training. Now, this, and I say, within the 10 months of the project, this is a pretty healthy increase by 8% to 240.2 million as compared to 3 months of the 10 months. Now, we compare this with the performance of business policy. Do you think there is value for money when it comes to that? Because you look at the economic municipality of Gizma, especially those in rural areas, but much is said of the arts, but what is your take when it comes to that?
In fact, you are proof, what I've seen in certain aspects,
there's internal workshops and the quality of service providers, those people are training, really leaves much to be desired. Sometimes just a 2-hour training or 1-hour training, they are gone.
or not alone, with lots of money for those people. Really, you know, I don't know what your comment is.
I'm just checking whether if the entity is doing good service that we are now, or I have some respect in mind, the prior in the extension of the administration service.
Yeah, technically, the language is different, but on the additional method. would be a bigger choice if you had your problem. I'm worried, really. I'm not sure whether when we talk of the issue of the capacity, can we say there are problems with the way you can try yourself just to say, yes, as you should tell the age, which you are seeing, you can hear about. Because I think it was an umbrella that the team managed to say there are. If you can assure us, how are you planning to make sure that you can take the product of that is where you need to watch. Maybe I'll join you actually on the program and say, that is where you need to see the circumstances. You are always asking them what work you get. And that is where you need to see the strong practices. What are you planning to make sure that you make practices that are
thank you, Chair. It's good to your sleep, like philosophy. Well, Chair, I think all I would say is just obviously that there are those people who just want to die, and others that they just left and there are vacants. And I just hope the administrator will try and ensure that if it's those critical skills, they must be able to fill up those positions. But then I'm just wondering whether those people who reside, they're not running away from their criminal activities. Because if they do, they should be followed up. People can't just take public funds and run away thinking, well, I think they resign, they'll get away with it. They should not get away with it. But the other thing, say, no man, I'm not happy with the pace in which the administrator is taking this case. The legal actions that need to be taken, I'm trying to check, because we need to see people being shaped, you know, we call it equal. How do we see, when do we see that people have been charged and legal action has been taken in terms of those people that have been disciplined, and we get rid of these bad people that are, you know, painting wrong pictures in the face. Because you see, we should not allow the aspects of one former administrator to get all the other administrators. So far, well, I'm a little bit impressed of your performance. Although I cannot just say 100%, I'll give you 60% so you can improve in terms of your performance. I want you to make people jump. All those who are guilty or all those who are found being in the wrong side of the law, you must take those in election. Please. Give us a timeline to say, and about this date you have concluded with this big election, because we really want to know when because as an ANC, we don't allow people to continue being corrupt. We must get rid of those corrupt people in our system. We want to know when I'm going to start with this implementation of this judiciary hearing, when I'm charging people, when are we seeing this beautiful reflection.
I think the age is here, and I want to introduce that we deliberately call this two systems because the West performance system. I think that was meant to be. It was not a natural thing, it was deliberate. You know? Now, we want to say these two systems are under administration and they must come out of that. I think that's the message we're trying to send across, and we're saying that there must be, let's clean up our commitment schedule. I mean, it should not be a different exercise. You should be able to go into a payment records, your systems. I don't know how your account is structured, but you go in there and check, who are the service providers that have been paid these millions? You will see the account numbers, the names of people, the companies. And then you look at your
database of service providers. And I want to assume whether this question is answered, it will be answered this way. The trainers that are in the municipalities are from these 200 accredited service providers. If this is not the case, then there's something problematic about the system. I mean, if a person comes there with some funny I don't think it's proper. That's an underqualified service provider. Some strange person coming there to train for an hour and leave with news. We should be able to identify that. Because that's what the AG is asking. Because at the moment, apparently, you may not have the contracts. People have gone away with the contracts. The contracts have simply melted away. But you must have a way. You know, only because there will be people who punch a computer to pay a person. It will say Ishmael from user number. And then, and you know, this user number is attached to Ishmael. You see? Ishmael takes people. On what basis will this one be made? For what way? And then you regenerate this because they will give the age for them to do their own way of validation. And then we will conclude on this success. That's how we should actually reclaim some of this in the resistance that you will make in the future schedule. That is, that's what we'd like to see being done. And let's therefore summarize the questions at the later, because I think the first at the later then gave us a context of what the normal at the later is the chair to say the department work closely with the administrator so that they stick to terms of reference in order to implement what they're meant to do in this task. Otherwise, the system has been harassed in the system. And we don't want this to recur. So we are here trying to recuperate the
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks to the members. I'll take some of the questions I've already indicated to the other managers, which ones, and take Shelley, there was one excellent yourself, so please take it. Perhaps let me start with your last question and combine it with the honorable member for Janet's question. Indeed, the issue of service providers and the training that happens and how the system works is part of where there is fertile ground for these things to happen. The first thing, let me explain Bamboja, is that if you ask the question in the context of mandatory grant, but more or less also on discretionary grant, this means how the system works, and it's part of what we are doing. At the moment, for this period, we have said that we are stabilizing and just making it work on the old systems and ways of doing things. So that's what we also are still using. By end of March, we would have come out with a new strategy to say that this is how we think it should work. But for now, we are still using that. We have both grants to municipalities, discretionary grants, and they are supposed to be the same thing with the mandatory, although they don't always do. We approve for them, they apply, we approve, and we give them a time within which to comply, and to comply means to appoint accredited service providers, to recruit the learners and gather all the documentation, IDs and all of that. And then with all of that information then and documentation, then we find contracts with them. The first problem, and this is the case in I think most cities, although I believe the central city is not seeking to change. The first problem is that upon signing of the contract, just upon signing of the contract, and I think it was well intentioned, a first round of payment is due so that they can have something to start. So already that's a problem, and we have now changed it. It used to be 50% of the contract amount. So Bambodana, if you have applied for and we give, if you apply for 20 million worth of training, upon signing the contract, 10 million gets to your bank account. So you don't have an incentive to continue with the training. You just take the money and move on to the next step. But we have not gotten rid of it. We have reduced it now to 30, as I said, because you know we have not change how it works. But that's the first problem right there. That's why we are now, I was glad to hear the chairperson of the service to speak about this, because that's what we finally decided to check as one, as a way of finally and most thoroughly
following up to the previous comment that we've done, responding to your question on what happened. We thoroughly understand what's been happening here, because we've got an idea of what has been happening, but in some instances we have not quite gotten to it yet to be able to act. We have now decided to do another foreign audit, not just on the transaction within the organization as we did, but on actual projects. But what we have found, now when we're finalizing the SST, we did a quick and basic data that we went out, started calling, we got the interns in the office and some officials, to start calling some of the beneficiaries just to check, you've undergone a training of the LGC, how has it affected your life, where has it taken you to? Indeed, we got some very good stories. Some young people were telling us very heartwarmingly that, yes, I did this training and the results have moved on in life, this is what it has done for me. Others were telling us, the others that belong in this category, in this other category, that, oh, well, I signed all the documents, I was asked to come in and sign and send and provide my ID, this and that. 4 years later, I'm still waiting to be called for the training. Because other people went around collecting those things to initiate the project, but there was no training. We are now doing that. Members might have seen, we've actually advertised this past weekend for service providers to come and help us. Exactly as the service, the construction and the interpersonal are supporting that they had to do. That's one way of getting down to the road, but also of closing a lot of the things on the commitment schedule. So we are doing something very concrete. We can spend more time on that, but that's how the system works. Yes, they are supposed to, as they do that, they comply, they are supposed to appoint service providers that are accredited by the CISA, they are supposed to check with the CISA. In some instances, they don't. You know, in some instances, they don't do other such that most of the time, we have one of the big things that we've done, that we spent a lot of time and money on between July and December last year, was to do roadshows, and we are required to contact stakeholders. Ulumka put in the terms of reference specifically that I must not think I know it all, I must engage stakeholders in the referendum. So we spent a lot of time going to provinces talking to stakeholders. And one of the things that came out very strongly, the deep learning movement. I'm losing my turn of thought now, Chair. As we're consulting the stakeholders, I apologize, I'll come back to that point, but I've got to say something about what you. But, in terms of, yes, I remember. One of the things that came out that I have been putting to them is the fact that we are working to fix the CISA. And indeed, we are convinced that the machinery of the CISA, the modernization, I could do everything, the processes, we will fix and make it 100%. Partly, as you know, if they don't come to the party to do their own part for the system to work, the impact on the system is still going to be negligible. As I said, we approve grants for them and we give them time to follow certain processes to avoid these things properly to access the grant. Most of the time, for the last 3 years, probably always, but I've just been looking at the last 3 years, most of the time those committed grants are never taken up. Because one, either municipalities that are genuinely and honestly just too weak to run the procurement processes and do the things that they need to do. But half the time, and we have found half the time, it's because they insist on doing wrong things. Because they insist on appointing service providers that are not accredited. I've had people say coming to me even now as I've been administrator, saying that please give us an extension, we have not been able to do it on time, please give us an extension to appoint a service provider. And I said to them, well, first of all, you've done it wrong. Your process has yielded a service provider that is not accredited, it should never have happened. And we can't just keep endlessly give you extension, so we must do the same with everyone in the system, wouldn't work for them. You know, you never close on this project. So I say to them, but not to punish your workers or the unemployed in your area that needs the training. We as the CISA will run the training for you. We will appoint, but your people will get trained. So no. See, rather the money must go back into the kitchen than you handle it for us. So we know that the problems are not only confined to what we can do in the CISA. So more than I hope I've tried to respond to some of those things. Now, in terms of the increase, and I know you must come in, the mandatory grant component of the work that we do is regulated. The only increase, as far as I can gather, is increased because there was an increase in the levy. If there's an increase in payroll, there's an increase in the levy that they pay, therefore, automatically, because mandatory grant is a portion of the levy, then, you know, it increases that. There's nothing else that triggers an increase in mandatory grant. Perhaps, you can spend a bit more time on. Honorable member, Mama, it's not for me, well,
It is for me to say the teacher has saved life. The teacher, as we have reported, has come a long way in terms of fixing ourselves and doing the right thing. We are getting very positive feedback, and I would ask the members themselves, as they go into their own constituencies and communities, to also assist us to get a feeling, to get a pulse from our constituencies and municipalities in terms of what has happened, because we have now been to every single province in the state under administration, and we consistently engage with municipalities to work with them, to tell us whether what we are getting from a few, from others, that indeed they can see the difference, the teacher is stabilized, the leadership in the teacher, they can see the responsiveness. For the first time now, application for discretionary grant, although still longer than my own liking, but were done within, 4 months after approval, when historically they would take 8 to 12 months. You know, all of those things, people can see, where the teacher is going. We have given an account of exactly where we are, in terms of the work which we did here, we're doing much more details. Department, as to whether it warrants an extension or not, I would like to respectfully say that is a decision that my bosses will have to decide, because we have given an account of where things are and what remains to be done, and we are waiting to hear from my bosses what is going to happen. Resignation and dismissal, yes. The first process is that we spoke to, and I'm going to touch on a few members' questions on this one. Pointed to, in certain instances, very specific things that were easy for us to act on, and that's what we did. And others pointed to things but that were not substantive enough to act on. We are still looking at those. And in some cases, there were very vague pointers to say that you still need to look into that area. Now, I have been reluctant. I didn't want to. We talked earlier on for the first speaker. On spending money on consultants endlessly. So that's something that always been at the back of my mind, to say that at some point I need not continue on some crusade that is expensive of just chasing investigations endlessly. But we have now, as I said, two projects, we have now taken a decision that once and for all we need to go through the program. But so the answer is yes, some people, when those investigations were clearly pointing to certain things, obviously, some people then started to resign from this. We were hamstrung at them. Advocates, separate union advocates, I always engage advocates. We took given the intensity of the problem and knowing the sentiment of the people of South Africa through their representatives, yourself sitting on this committee, I had the fortune of having said where Lunga is sitting when this LGBT appeared here in February last year. So I knew exactly what the issues are, what the feelings are. The former CEO resigned shortly after the day, and we were starting to get into the issues she resigned. Before she left, as we got into the investigation, the forensic investigation, we had sufficient to charge everything. And we debated it for a long time with our legal people to say we have jurisdiction over this person, she's serving notice. In the end, I took a decision, I said we must test it. Not for the sake of testing it, but I must do the right thing. The person has done all these bad things, we now have sufficient proof, we must test. And we charged her, and it went into the process. Unfortunately, these things are beyond our control, because they are legal processes, they have to be run in a certain way, independently for ourselves. The presiding officer tested all facts, and obviously their argument was that we don't have jurisdiction, and in the end came with a finding that said that we do not have jurisdiction over here. All we can do in such cases, and I'm glad that the Secretary of the Secretary, who himself was an administrator before, spoke to this issue. All we can do is to then report cases criminally, and then it's in the hands of the criminal justice. And unfortunately, as he was lamenting himself, we sometimes have to escalate to the level of the minister to discuss with that minister for things to even begin to move. It's unfortunate that none of those, in our case where we've made criminal charges, we have not seen any sort of movement as a result of those things. So we were then hamstrung. And indeed, that's what people do when they see that you are going to charge them, they resign and there's not much to do. Then get into that. I've asked Rosemary to respond to the issue of RTL, but after she speaks, as part of my conclusion, I will also touch on the chair. Yeah, the issue of targets, quickly share. Rosemary referred to an high threat earlier on. For me, it's something I find quite interesting. Quite frankly, Mr. Lunga, in some instances, this,
Twitter, and I don't know if it's all Twitter. For instance, this issue is at one level of reporting for all training that happens in the sector, because we are supposed to be this repertoire of information and knowledge and thought leaders and skills development and all of those things. So we have to have an in-depth report on all of the training that happens in the sector, funded by us or not. We have to have that information. But this is a report against training that is not funded by us. That's why you have targets that exceed our own targets. So the whole issue of target and budget, it does not always, we have our own targets that are budgeted for, but when we don't spend our own budget, sometimes we are able to show that we've met our targets, because we come to the city of Cape Town here, they have a huge budget of their own, beyond a mandatory grant of certain grants of their own, they set money aside and they train, they get their numbers and they report. It's both correct and not correct. It's correct because we are showing that we have our finger on the pulse in terms of the training that happens in our sector, but sometimes it's not the picture in that we must be able to, I believe, and that's why I'm telling this to the public, I think it's a discussion that must be had. We must be able to distinguish between SGPK funded training against our target and training generally that we are monitoring in the sector, which is part of our broader mandate. That's my view. That's what happened there. Because this question was directed at you, but let me touch on it. Honourable member, this teacher, and this is the big thing I'm driving in the road shows and in the record, this teacher has become completely divorced from the sector that is supposed to serve. Completely removed. It has just become, I mean, we are aware that even in government activities that involve many teachers, this teacher and its leadership would more often than not participate and not even want to show up and show their faces. For different many reasons. So it is true, and I appreciate that the teacher has, we are now, I've spent a lot of time and some resources to bring the teacher back to the stakeholders, to bring it back to the people, to know much better, to make much more responsive. And that's part of the mandate. That's part of the mandate that the department and the people who are employed engage with. They said, here is a technical mandate in terms of the terms of reference. You must fit these things, compliance, you must do all these things to make sure that the teacher works. But over and above this, we can't put this in way. But over and above this, just reposition the teacher and make it responsive and relevant to the LGC. Because at the moment, it has become something of its own that is also what it's supposed to do. And we're spending a lot of time on that. We will now, in this financial year, with our Kala, ensure that all research, there are 6 provincial offices, there are 9 provinces in Kala. 3 provinces are clustered together. Gauteng and Northwest is one office which is at Bedford Beach, serving the Mafikeng or whatever. Mpumalanga Limpopo is one office which is on Skuman Street in Pretoria, or Francis Park in Pretoria, serving in Bosina and everywhere else. These are things that just don't make sense. I don't know how these decisions were taken by, but they just do not make any sense. Free State and Northern Cape is one office in Bloemfontein. Very nice, lofty office in Bloemfontein. Servicing Pullman, Pampista, Springbok. So in this financial year, we have a session now in the next 2 weeks to plan for the implementation of the 14-15 APP so that we don't have to play catch up like we are doing now. But also administratively on some of these issues, we have undertaken to our stakeholders as we went around that. In whatever form, Lunga, even if it's your small satellite offices in colleges, as we are required to do, but the speaker will have presence in each of the offices. That's number one. And then number two, to build capacity within even the existing. I have always said, Anika maybe may want to comment on this, I have always said that we need a different type of thinking or type of person to work, especially in the province, but at the LGC in general. And I always make the example of saving people. For my sins, I also once worked in sales. I hated it, but it taught me a few things. And one of those things is that you have to be up in the face of your client all the time, because that's how you bring value to them. That's how you extract value out of them. In the private sector setup, of course, for a different voltage, but the principle is the same. And I've been saying that the people at the LGC need to have that type of thinking. We need to know that our job is to be up in the faces of these municipalities and bring value through our advice and support in terms of the mandate of state development. That doesn't happen a lot. People don't understand more often than not. I'm not saying all the time. I hope I've responded, Honorable Khadija, to also your concerns. They are my concerns as well. These people, and I mean, I already say, Chairperson, more often than not, they can afford to play all these legal games and pay lawyers to play all these games because this is money they have accumulated corruption. So all these people that were charged, they do all these things that people spoke about, which frustrates me. They frustrate me a great deal, but I also have to be measured. Lawyers always tell me that it's better to tolerate or to withstand these things for a solid outcome in the end than to compromise process and then have to deal with that and challenge it. So yes, they take far longer than I would have wanted them to. We are now, I've now started to be much more aggressive. The lawyers are still saying careful. But a short answer to your question, Honorable Khadija, is that I have said to the team, we can't, whatever happens with me beyond end of March, but all the cases that are currently on the table will be completed at the end of March. And if as a result of the process that we are starting now, of the further problem with the project, if as a result of that process we have to charge people, we will be very specific. Well, I suppose that one perhaps oversight that we did. We will be specific with all the prevailing officers and all the parties as we start the process formally to say that within 3 months the process must be completed. So that if a person gets a lawyer who wants to play games, they must know that 3 months the prevailing officer will continue the case whether people are there or not and complete it and close the case. Those are some of my responses, but I don't know, sir, if I've touched on everything I wanted to. I'm just going to ask three questions because I know I already apologize in advance for my past attendance. The direct question, Honourable Member, and then Rosemary, and then speaking, and then I think Chair on our side.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. The question that was directed to the financial section of my presentation has to do with the quantity of misstatements inside of this. In the presentation, it says some of the misstatements were corrected, and then some were not corrected, and they relate to the commitment space. Quantitatively, the higher number of misstatements that were identified were corrected. But unfortunately, the one that could not be corrected is a significant one in the sense that it is related to an item that led to a qualification. So the larger number of the ones which were corrected turned out to be ancillary, and the significant one could not be corrected, and they obtained a qualification. Thank you.
Honourable members, the question is about to RPL, and I understand you want to extend that process. Can you just start by saying the two projects which we report on in terms of which we did RPL for specifically relate to legislation which was done by the Department of Water Affairs and National Treasury, which now puts requirements for minimum competency for, first of all, in terms of the water one. Water process controllers are required to have minimum competency in order to work on water jobs. With regard to the minimum competency one for finance, once again, National Treasury issued a regulation placing minimum competency on municipal officials and certain positions to be appointed to those positions. In other words, if you don't have that qualification, you are not allowed to either work on the waterfront or in terms of finance, you are not allowed to be appointed in certain positions in the sector. So what we did was, in terms of the water one, we had learnerships and a range of skills programs, but we also asked for RPL, and in terms of that, the provider which was appointed was the citizen to do RPL. And so specifically in the turn of municipal officials who have been there for many, many years, who have the necessary experience but don't have the qualification. So the process was followed where they were assisted in achieving and portfolios were developed to assist them to achieve the certificate at the end of the day. So that was with regard to the water RPL process. And in terms of the minimum competencies for municipal finance officials, many of our municipal officials already have qualifications far above the requirements of the minimum competency which was set by National Treasury, which is at NPS 6. yes, we have people with RPA, but they now require to do this qualification. So then a process was followed where they need to submit portfolios of evidence, and that is how we ensure that these courses are expedited for them to achieve this. I hope that answers your question.
Honourable Chair, just to respond to the issue of reward and recognition. On the one hand, all of us can lament how underpaid we are, and I'm sure all of us at some point or other lament that. But the only way that we're able to scientifically to actually say with conviction whether we are paying more than what the market pays or under what the market pays is if we undertake a proper analysis and that we benchmark ourselves against similar entities as well as the sector that we are operating within. And in order to be able to do that, you need to first have the necessary infrastructure to do so, like your job profile, because then you're able to match apples with apples. And with the business processes being finalized as well as the job profile, only now are we able to actually benchmark and say, are we actually paying below or above the market? And that also speaks to the philosophy as an individual. If we tend to work with the foremost teacher, leading others, then we need to think about how our rewards and recognition mechanisms encourage exactly that. Of course, within the confines of principles, perhaps we consider increasing beyond the 10% administration cost. So this is us. I see them shaking their heads. But I'd also like to report that I agree, Chairperson, with the committee, and you will be pleased to know that for the previous year, an executive decision was made not to pay performance bonus fee because the performance of the organization just is not commensurate with the bonuses. There was a lot of discussion of heat and painful acceptance, but at the end, the decision was made and it had to be accepted.
Thank you very much for the presentation. We hope that we have to answer before we we don't have much time. We need to look at the administration and the team from the Lagarosita, so I can come and the officials from the department and the Auditor General. If the Auditor General has orders you'd like to obey, we are going to deal with our own performance reports. We are going to check you whether it is useful for the people out there. You can read them here, we did it ourselves after this. Can I release officials from the State Department and members of welcome to relay to deal with our legacy report and three sets of finance, and I would like to believe that the set of finance was submitted to members early enough for us to use them so that we are able to look at them. There are minutes of the 19th of February, the 30th of October, and the 6th of November 2020, and the latest report. Let's commence with looking at the minutes of the 19th of February. The 30th of October 2015. Members, any grammatical typographical mistakes on the minute of the 30th of October? It is not very clear if there are any specific recommendations in terms of discretion. Any comments?
No comments.
Does it seem that this meeting was a briefing from the Mangumazusi SUD's operations in regards to allocation and training, and there are not any special recommendations? I've not come across any type of rock at the stage.
Put some legal action to those who are benefiting here. And I don't see it in terms of the presentation or in this document of this minute. I've read the minute.
I think I know to what Orem Khaled is suggesting, which I think is in view with the minister. That's not a problem. But one thing which must know is that on matters of criminality, it is only the National Prosecution Authority that can suggest amnesty. So we may not necessarily say that as the parliament we can condone, let's say somebody has committed fraud, especially to the student, he has claimed to be a student, he has made money. So let's allow the department to undertake investigations to verify their claim that they could be fraudulent beneficiaries from and so on. I wonder if my point is helpful. Yes.
You know, let me take you to page 5. I'm not really correcting that I find it difficult to keep referring to that, that there are financial excuses of academically deserving students owing to financial concerns. Do we have such cases? My understanding is that in most cases, where the students who fail course also, and the university or the institution then exclude them from funding the next year, owing to the policy that is implemented by NSF. But when students come to us, they try as we can just generally be a student. And we tend to be under the same impression that these students are academically deserving and financially needy and are supposed to proceed. I'm just saying, I don't think we totally agree. This is working out well. What if we have such cases? We can take them up with the department, we can take them up in those institutions, and they can't get children. And I have not seen that evidence other than just theorizing about it or some report. I think it's a good situation and we must fight for it. And we keep fighting the situation when the police of NSFAS is what we have put, is what we know, yes.
And let me help the debate. We were at the road, we assisted 120 financially, these students that were working for me, and we went to Nelson Mandela National University, and we asked the university to conduct NSFAS to get funds to ensure the addition of those. But now, maybe you must better articulate this and say the community urges public higher education institutions not to exclude financially needy students that are performing very well in their studies. I think that would be a proper articulation of our position, so that it must not incorporate those that are not meeting the academic requirements of this specific university. And I hope Alan understands our viewpoint. Any further comments? Did they move out for adoption colleagues?
For adoption?
Yeah, so first one, and then obviously I shall go. Thanks very much for the comments that I created. So let's move to our report, leadership report. The leadership report,
just a question. Are we listed there a deadline to the president of this court? Because if the
point I'm about to make. I have to try this. Let's hear Manpower.
Yeah, we have to, I'm sure one of the members we have to adopt it today. Unfortunately, when they send us a framework for the disaster response, we spend our week, the first week we considered as only 2 weeks, we were on overtime, and it's true by this Friday.
Okay.
I was just saying the report attempts to capture our activities for the term. You must verify at the bank your attendance, because it should reflect well or bad on members during your tenure, to verify whether you are absent or present, all those things. That we can do, we can countenance that, to verify that by safety. We may not give that aspect yet. I think we can confirm the legislation that we passed. That's correct. From my side, I would like to take us to move that page. To page 17, well, we're talking about elephants on oversight issues. We're saying that on response to recommendations, the department increased allocation to NHRs, and this has been continuous strategy to the night. Manpower, let's be useful there in terms of that data. How much? We're reporting the nation to say NHRs from this period had actually given students this much. I cannot reach number of students. I think we can get that quickly. It should help us. We've been receiving reports from the department as to skill gaps that have been issued. I think let's try and get that data quickly and say the department has issued this number of skill gaps. That's what they told us. I'm sure the AG might want to validate that the systems to look at that. On page 21, we recommended that the National Accidents Moderation Body and the GCPO must be, the establishment must be finalized. What is the status now? We might want to know, are they established or not? So, and this data is available. I mean, we can get very easily from the department. The data would be available with the computer science. For instance, if you have advanced pathology or medical grounds or other grounds, there may be collections of other communities and so on. That detail, like a supporting information on attendance, I'm sure that could be verified from the computer science. I think we can look at that. One other way of validating our minutes, you can look at the PMG reports. You can validate. Sometimes when when I want to check whether I'm in or not, I just go to to their website and check. We can verify that whether you're a person outside and then check if I check through you whether you really check into the office and then collect them. So that there was not an empty space. I'm sure now that the you understand?
In some cases with members members of the NCD, we can raise in the committee. So in some of the gaps, you are not yet a member of the committee that such person. So you are not present in member of the in that such time, you are not present as a member of the committee. So that's why you see there's nothing there. There's no presence.
And then was speaking to the ADA. Because somewhere somehow there are gaps where I think you are supposed to either put pressure or action. For example, page 48. You go look at that every day.
Yeah, that's definitely agree with the view that almost by Tracy, that is high attendance. That's not the kind of attendance now. It doesn't help the mission. Let's verify whether we are present or not.
Yeah.
So that the report accurately captures at that point. Let's find that aspect and go and verify that by firstly, let's just contribute our part of the information. Yes.
Chair, that means, as you are saying correctly, let's go and verify our attendance. The same thing will apply as I want to move for the adoption now. If, say, tomorrow I really try to identify something, can I still refer to your secretary?
Yes, I would like that we could say we adopt as the reporting principle on condition that the addition have been a quantification of our opponent in all those aspects which has been taken and then that members must verify attendance by Thursday so that we could analyze the report. The committee will approve the committee and the partners that are sensing our work for the same.
Chairperson, I agree too.
But, Chair, I certain with the condition that all mistakes will be corrected. Otherwise, if mistakes are corrected, I don't record the adoption of this case.
I think Mam Powell and the researcher, the country center, and myself have got to spend some less hours on this and validate all those conditions.
I'll check for now
to put the record straight. You haven't detected them yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we must correct it because this is on the record. We have detected some problems, then by must we be verified in the connections.
If he's a person of apology, then A is for absent, B is for present. Then empty space is for not yet or not there. Now we are going to validate this aspect
as I said. Actually, yes, I'm a problem. Non to lose and the criteria for just where they are coming to the corner.